Are you stuck at home in lockdown? Yeah, I know, we all are. Don't worry, we've got you covered, because it's time once again for Live at Night with Pete Ferrero, where whatever happens, happens. Now along with his special guests, here is your host, Pete Ferrero.
Okay, I think we're live. We're live at night. This is a new thing here with me and Tony Manja. Going to start doing Manja Mondays, right?
Yes, Tony, sir. Yeah, that sounds like a plan to me.
Yeah, why
I'm
not?
I'm hungry already.
Listen, we've been doing our own shows for a little bit, and I love having you on, and sometimes it gets a little out of control with some of the other guests, but I was like, let's do this, you know? All right, so with me now, I'm so excited, and we're going to be joined by Erie Cafe as well, but with me right now is Jerry from the Lyndhurst Pastry Shop. Now, listen, I'm going to tell you guys, the Keith Richards from the Rolling Stones has a great quote. He says, some people grow up and they have the moon, the stars, and the Rolling Stones. For me, I grew up with the moon, the stars, and the Lyndhurst Pastry Shop because, you know, my dad and my family always went to your spot since I was a kid. I'm sure you remember that, maybe.
Yeah, I do. No, I do. I do. I remember you when you were younger. Yeah. I'm old. I'm a few years older than you. So, but, you know, you remember my brothers more being there as being the older guys in there. But absolutely. I was there. I came into the business back in 1974 and right out of high school. And that was it.
Sorry.
My daughter, I just wanted to tell you, Peter, this is my daughter, Paulette. She's my manager, bakery manager also. So.
Very cool. And, we went local here because I think what the most important thing about this particular podcast tonight and with the Monday Night Manja is supporting the locals, because I think that's they're the heart of the restaurant industry and probably suffering a lot the most. So Erie Cafe, tell me a little bit about, I'll let you introduce yourself because I'm terrible at introducing people.
Hi, everybody.
Hello. Sorry,
I'm not the most tech savvy. I have a bakery in Rutherford. I know Lyndhurst Pastry Shop. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Okay, cool.
I was telling Peter, I says, we have a mutual girl that worked for us is Amy.
Yes. Yeah,
and
for sure.
Always spoke very highly of you.
Yeah. Nice. And the same about you. Whenever I need something, I'll be like, hey, do you think they have it? And she'll call me. You know?
We're neighbors. Yeah. So tell me a little bit about the bakery in Rutherford, and then I'll let Jerry kind of talk about Lyndhurst Pastry. Manja, if you got anything that you want to pop in with, that's what you're good for. You're always good pop in. Yeah.
Oh, nice. I just opened up a small bake shop. I worked in big bakeries. I wanted to kind of just do small batch, so that's kind of what we do. I don't know. I'm not prepared.
you don't know your story.
I brought my wine though, so I'm kind of.
I just
put the baby to sleep. I fell asleep with her for like 10 minutes, and then my phone was buzzing, and I was like, oh my God, I gotta go. Right. So my brain's like sleeping a little.
Yeah. Hey, that was my biggest fear. My daughter put her baby to sleep. She's 5 years old. And I was saying, oh, geez, I hope she goes right to sleep. So this way she can join me.
Right?
Yeah. I get it. Like falling asleep with your kids. Totally get it.
Yeah. She felt so good tonight. I was kind of happy. So what else? Yeah. So I just wanted like just something small, something that I could handle myself, because when you do have a big bakery, it's a lot of work. And yes. I wanted that, but I knew I couldn't do it on that scale. I think opening up big bakeries, like your bakery, I'm sure. How long have you guys been in business?
Well, you know what? We've been in business. My father started the business way back in 1948.
Wow.
My brothers are about 13 and 11 years older than me.
Yeah.
So they were in the business in the 1960s. I came in later in the 70s. But, you know, and it's... was an established business. My father did the legwork.
It's been over 70 years. And I think the intention was like that we started small as well.
Yeah.
And then just, it just grew to this.
Yeah. That's awesome.
It grew to where we are now. So it's, we're thankful and blessed, but we started where you were.
Yeah.
It's also,
that's the beauty of things, right? Like you need to start somewhere. Otherwise, everybody just gets eaten up by big places.
Yeah.
And you need those family businesses. My grandfather had a family business my entire life, obviously, but that's kind of where I grew up. I grew up in his ice cream shop in Jersey City. And they actually had a Carvel in North Arlington that was like right near you guys for a little bit.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
But I mean, he came to this country with not much and built a business and, you know, was able to do all the things that we all strive for now. It's just so different. So.
And one of the reasons why I wanted to have, a couple of different people on is because I think what's happening through this process, what I've been learning from chefs and whatnot, is like the communities are coming together now, you know, because there really is a problem here with the everything that's happened with the virus. A lot of people are in the same boat, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, small, big, medium, whatever, everybody, except for like Ruth Kristen, that level, you know what I mean? But on the small business scale, we're all kind of dealing with some of the same stuff. So to the pastry shop, to Jerry, we were talking before he came on. This is probably the first time you had a close for that extended period of time ever.
Yeah, definitely. It's been traumatic. And actually I closed just before Palm Sunday, and
which is the day that's probably very big for you, by the way, right? That's all these dates are probably very big for you. Palm Sunday.
Oh, sure. Palm Sunday, Easter. And, but it was just, I was very nervous because it was getting to be to a point where I was nervous for my staff and my workers. And, you know, and that's the reason why I pulled the plug on it, because it was, and I tell you the truth, it really eased my pain, because I didn't know how I was going to handle a bigger crowd, with lines and, the way it is in my bakery, sometimes we're three or four deep in my whole bakery. And now the way I have it set up now is because I did open on Friday, for the first time in a month. And I try to do some guidelines, whereas I put rope, some tape around a good foot away from my counters.
Right. We created a bigger perimeter around. The biggest thing was, is that like when you have a huge crowd that normally comes in, you have to figure out how you're going to handle that crowd and keep everybody safe, not just our staff, but our customers too. Right. We get packed and you're almost like sardines waiting in the storefront to get served next. So how do you keep all of those people safe and keep your staff safe, where we've got now the bigger staff because it's a holiday? So the decision to close was kind of one for everybody to just keep safe. We were kind of in the uphill of like the peak of that, of the virus, right? We hadn't reached the peak yet. So we just decided that instead of, risking everybody else getting sick, let's just shut it down. It kind of made that decision a little bit easier on how to handle the holidays.
Yeah,
so.
Sure.
And you gotta look forward, Peter. You gotta look forward. You can't look back and say, "Oh, geez, I lost this or I lost that." Yeah. You know, I wind up emptying out my bakery, donating, hundreds of pounds of cookies and, to different functions and stuff like that, like hospitals and that kind of stuff. So, and then we just start fresh. That's all.
And I mean, for you guys who's been in this business for so long, that had to be, like you said, traumatic. That had to been a scary situation for you, Jerry, to have to say, shut this down. I mean, that's an unheard of thing for the old school, Yeah.
Yeah. You know what, though? In one sense, I when you say old school, I think of my father and my, older than me, but I guess I am old school now. I guess, I've turned into that. You know what? It actually gave me peace of mind, because it was a weight off my chest and off my shoulders, because every day I was going in, I was getting nervous.
Yeah.
And how bad is this thing? And and you watch the news, and I don't have to tell you, when you watch the news, you go to bed depressed.
Sure. And scared.
Yeah. So how about for you with Yuri? What was some of the stuff that you guys had to go through?
The same thing. I just noticed a lot of people coming in and I started to freak out. So I put a sign on the door, four people at a time. And then And then I just like, I was following it and I, you know, I have a baby and my mom watches the baby. And all I kept thinking was like, if I bring this home to my parents, like, is it worth it? You know, God forbid something happens. Like that's the first thought that came into my head. And all the people that work for me, most of them live with their parents. And that's like, it's just like in the beginning, like that's mostly what it was. It was, remember, it was like, oh yeah, you know, young people are okay. No one's okay. So I made the decision that I was like, we have to close. I was getting so scared and like the anxiety was just, it was bad. And then, you know, everyone's like, oh, you'll get that small business loan. And I was like, yeah, I'll get this loan, you know, I'll be fine. I'll be able to pay my bill.
Jake got it.
Yeah. and then I'm like watching the news and seeing who actually got this business loan and like the qualifications of what a small business is. Yeah. And I was like, oh my God, I'm never getting this loan. Like, So I opened the same thing. I opened this
weekend. My banker goes, that's sort of the banker guy. So he says, checks in the mail.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Wow. We just got a letter today from the president saying that he sent the stimulus. That was so nice of him. Yeah.
One person that got it.
Yeah. I mean, it feels like what they're giving out is not really sustainable for a small business. So even at that, it doesn't feel like what they're giving is
going to help anybody. If they actually give anything out to real small businesses, like it would be helpful. In my head, I started thinking of all the small businesses, not just food related, just everybody's affected by this. And if you just give honestly like $2,000 to a small business as opposed to $20 million to a huge company, it's like, you know, that guy's still living in his penthouse in Manhattan. Yeah.
Totally. Yeah.
That guy's not being affected by it.
Yeah.
So, well,
you know what, we had a chance and restaurants do of making recouping a little and keeping some of their staff working by, you know, doing what we're doing now. I closed down. So of course now you just lose everything and you just look forward.
Yeah.
But you know what, now you just got to look ahead and we have to change our ways. Like I said, I do the same thing with the four customers in the store. Mm-hmm. I'm fortunate though, in one sense, I do have my lemon ice area.
Yes.
Italian. I got my three windows out there.
Oh, but
that again, I put a table there. I put a table on the outside to keep the people not putting their face right into the window.
Yeah.
And so some people pick up pastries on that side that are ordered and stuff like that. So I'm trying to work the system the best we can.
You're doing great. You know?
Yeah.
You're doing great.
How about for you? What are you trying to do at Erie?
I never wanted to do an online ordering system because I really do like talking to people. And
I think part of what makes both of your businesses so great is that the communication. Yeah, but particularly for Erie, in a sense, like I feel like every time you go in there and I see you, you're always talking, though you don't remember it, we're talking, you're always talking to people and sort of welcoming to your place. And I know Jerry does the same thing. So that must have been tough.
I worked in restaurants for a really long time and I was always trapped in the basement, you know, and the servers would come up and they'd be like, oh, so-and-so loved your food. And I'd be like, oh, okay, that's great. So having building it out so that the kitchen was open and that we could, you know, have communications with our guests was really important to me because I liked the idea of, you know, the old school, like, hey, how you doing? You know, I was in New York and LA for a long time. And it just wasn't, you don't have that, you know, I would go to the same coffee shop every day and they would never remember my name. And I'd be like, how do you not know who I am? I'm here every day. Like I spent so much money here. You don't know my name. So it's like really important that like I build relationships with these people. And I never wanted to do online. Like it's just, you know, wasn't my thing, but we had to because the shop is so small and people do want to talk to. So like, people come in and like want to talk to us. So we set everything up online and it's only me and one other person working right now, like bakery wise. So I couldn't do a lot of things. You know, people keep calling and emailing like, hey, can you do this and this and this? And I'm like, no. Actually, I can't. Like, I physically cannot. So, we just set up like a system. We put a table outside. We put some music. Like, we made it fun. We did. Sure. We did what we could with it. And it was nice. It was nice to see everybody with our masks on.
You know? Yeah. Like, yeah, I can't even tell who they are. Well, I can't even tell who people are nowadays. You know, they come in, they say, "Hey, Jerry, hi, how you doing?" And my girls at the bakery, they laugh at me because I'm very good at saying, "Hey, hi, how you doing? All right, baby." Yeah. And I leave and I go, "Oh, I don't remember who that was." But you know, most of the time I do remember.
But that's a part of your job, is to make people feel like you know who they are.
Totally. Okay.
I think that's the secret to success, by the way. Like relationships. It's the products, but it's also the relationships that you've built. So just coming in and seeing us and talking to us and knowing my dad and knowing my uncles, like that's what builds the business. Yeah,
sometimes I would talk to somebody and then they'll come in and go and they'll talk to me as if I, you know, remember. And I says, you know what? I probably talked to that guy like 5 years ago. And we had probably a nice extensive conversation, but I don't remember. But to him, he came to the Lindhurst pastry shop and he talked to the owner, and it was so much, you know, bigger to him than it was to me. And I, you know, I appreciate, because I talk to everybody, you know, and I treat everybody the same.
Yeah,
that's nice.
If I could just jump in here for a second, the one thing I would like to say is that, because you know, I like being social with people, so I think that the hardest thing with this whole pandemic, this coronavirus thing, is that We're forced now to run in and out of restaurants, run in and out of stores, run in and out of bakeries, and we can't have that social experience that we're so used to. And for me, that's what's heartbreaking. I mean, because you feel bad. You don't want to take up all of the people's, all of the owner's time, the baker's time, their chef's time, because there's a line out the door now trying to get in to get what they need as well. Yeah. And for me, I think that's such a hard thing, because like you're saying, you guys are family businesses, you're small, and you want to have that experience you want to give that experience to the customer. And unfortunately now we're really losing that. And my concern is that going forward, are we going to lose this social experience? Are we going to lose this connection that we've had for all these years? I don't know if you guys could talk to that point. Do you think that this new normal that we're hearing is going to force us to be less social or not to be able to have these experiences?
Yeah, what are we looking at going forward?
I'm going to say to be hopeful.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't really... nothing's going to really stop me from talking. I talk to people with my mouth. I was talking to a guy today, and you know what? It's funny too, because you got people who have different views on the whole concept. Mm-hmm. You know, some people, they should have opened this state up so much earlier. There's not a problem. There's this. And you know what? As a business owner, it's almost like being a political, when there's somebody talking politics, I don't take sides. I learned that a long time from my father. you don't put a sign in your window saying vote for him, vote for this guy. Mm-hmm. You just, you know, you yes people, and
you bake, you know,
politically correct. You got to be politically correct.
Yeah.
To answer your question though, Terry, I think it's going to change, but I think you can change. You can change it and still make it as good as it was. Mm-hmm. You have to recognize that there's a change. So there actually happened to be somebody I was listening to. It was a small business entrepreneur, mentor, whatever it was. And he basically said that going forward, our new normal is going to be way different than what we were. So everything that we were doing in the past, we have to almost scrap and just look at what was really working for the business and then incorporate those into the new business plan. So for us, in deciding to, when we like reopened, we had gone back and forth in terms of deciding, okay, are we going to keep our storefront closed and just serve out of the ice windows? People have to pre-order, or are we going to open up the business? Like, so much so, the morning or the day before we opened up, I had created all of our social media. I did everything ready to go. Okay, this is what we're going to do. And he changes the policies on me.
You want to do everything out the window. And I says, you know what? Sometimes in our thing, you know, I have the space that people come in, I can't even put lines on my floor, because you come in, you look around, and you see you buy this, you buy, if you're at a window and you can't see all the product, you know, you're not going to say, you know, somebody's just not going to, you know, yeah. I feel that's where you just have to have it open a little bit, but you conform it. We kept the, we made the bakery smaller, the storefront smaller, but so now people are looking, and four people in the store. And believe it or not, people, 98% of the people honor the, yeah. see people in that store. They won't come in. Yeah. They will, they'll stand out that window. And now my line is longer because it's 10 feet in, you know, 10 feet, you know, 6 feet apart.
Yeah.
So, you know.
All right. We got some comments, guys. Want to throw some-
Are you still giving people that chance to have that social relationship?
Yeah.
But on a limited time frame, right? Mm-hmm. So you're encouraging, come in, get what you want, pick out what you want, but don't spend all day here because you do need to get in and out, but still come in. We do love hearing your stories and mm-hmm. people love telling us their stories. Totally. So, yep. you know, that's, I think we, you know, you reanalyze and you figure out, okay, well, what's a key important, like what's important in keeping. And that was important for us is to keep our storefront open so people can come in for that social aspect.
All right. We got some comments. I'm just going to share a few here. David Cornell says, hi, Peter. Hi, Jerry. Love David Cornell.
Hello, David.
Hi, David.
Gennaro Pecchia says these bakeries are better than the overhyped New York City spots. So thank you very much.
Hey, Gennaro.
Love you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Let's see. Who else do we have? Jerry Lanzarotti says, I'm so proud of my family's bakery. We all grew up.
Oh, that's my nephew.
Okay, there we go.
Nice. My nephew down in Fork River. Well, actually down in Florida now.
Trisha June says, nice job, Jerry and Paulette.
That's Chuck's son.
Yep. And then let's see. Anthony Lanzarotti. I know my grandparents are smiling down on my father and my two uncles for keeping their family business going. So some beautiful.
Oh, my goodness.
Can I be a part of your family? That's
cool. Yeah.
You have a big family.
I'm third generation. And so it started with my grandfather, and then it was the three boys. And then from there, the three boys had nine grandkids, nine grandkids, and then from there we all have our
I already have fourth generation working. I you know they're high school aged and they all who make a couple of my nephews make
the way.
Let me ask you guys about breaking. I don't know, breaking in is the right phrasing, but in terms of deciding, I want to do this. Jerry, your hands were kind of like, this is the family business. This is what you're doing, I would imagine. Yeah. But for Renee, I'm wondering where did it come from? What inspired you to want to be in baking and pastry and all that stuff?
Well, I've been working for quite some time. When I told my parents I wanted to go to culinary school, they were like, no way. You are not going to culinary school. You are not, you know, working, standing all day, because they both knew what that life was like.
Yeah.
So we actually made a deal that if I graduated from college, if I still wanted to go to culinary school, then maybe, I'd be able to go. And I graduated college and I was like, I'm ready. I had gotten a job working at Carlos Bakery, actually in Hoboken. That was my first job. So it didn't matter that I was working so much. I really did love it. And like, I would work 12 hours at the bakery and I would come home and cook dinner and like still be happy, because that's just what makes me happy. So I just kind of knew that's like the easiest. I mean, it's hard work and it's very laborious, but I just love it so much. So I figured,
it doesn't feel like hard work when you do something that you love. I know that's a cliche thing, but that's sort of true.
Yeah. No, it's very true. I love baking. It gets to be a lot, but I wake up the next day and I'm still excited, you know. I just needed to build something for myself. And, you know, I took what I had and I built it small, and it's 5 years. It's 5 years old. Like this week, May of 2015, is when I opened. And
well, cheers to that, guys. You know,
but 5 years, I mean, it took a long time. And like, you know, every day I would wake up and I would go to work and I would pray that somebody would come in. You know, it was hard. And it takes time to build a following. And, you know, you guys have been there for a long time at Lyndhurst Pastry Shop. Like, it takes time.
Sure.
But you have to, people have to trust your cooking. And they have to, like.
Well, that's a reputation you have. You make a great product. And it's, and I know from somebody that works there, that's a friend of ours, mutual friend. And she says everything is done, you know, on a smaller scale. And you know, your attention to detail is you're very hands-on. So, you know, she loved working for you. And, you know, I'm sure you were sorry she left because.
Well, that's another thing. You have to attract people that are as passionate about what you do as, you know, as you are. So that's like the other thing is like finding proper help.
Well, I'm glad I have my daughter coming into the business, you know, and she's giving me, you know, she's that new life. I'm the old guard. If I'm the old fashioned, you know, she's my new, you know, old school. I'm old school. She's new school because she's coming in with all the ideas of the social media and that kind of stuff. And she's constantly pushing me, which is great because I can now, you know, sit back a little bit and do more managing than you know, and make sure my bakers in the back are handling what they got to do, and my decorators are doing what they're doing, and you know, and it's all because I have the help, and my brother's still involved. I mean, he takes care of my brother Butch. He takes care of my you know, all the billing and stuff like that. So, I mean, he's a big asset there, and you know, like I said, when I'm not there, I depend on others.
Sure.
Pick up the slack.
So, Jerry, was it, you mean your business wanting to get into baking and pastry, was it just a family thing? And it was like, this is what I'm doing. I have no choice.
My father didn't have a choice. I you know, I went to Bergen Tech back when the Bergen Academies wasn't the academies. It was Bergen Tech. And I took, you know, I was in baking right out of, you know, St. Mary's Grammar School. Then I went to high school. I went to Bergen Tech instead of, you know, Lyndhurst High School or Rutherford High School or St. Right. Mary's High School. So, you know, and I learned the trade. Now, when I came into my business, you know, with my father and my brothers, you know, it was a whole new, I had to learn our, you know, I knew our ways anyway. And I basically came in as an 18-year-old and I took over in the summertime, I took over the lemon ice situation. And, you know, I built it to what it is possibly today with my flavors and different experimenting on different flavors. So that was my niche. Whereas my brothers ran the bakery, my father ran the bakery. My brothers worked the bakery, you know, until my father retired. Let me tell you something real quick. My father, I said to him one time, I said to my father, this is a testament to my father and what he stood for. He says, I said, Dad, you don't know how grateful we are that we came into an established business. We didn't have to start from scratch. Like you know, with the Erie Cafe, you know, you got to start a business from scratch. And that's hard. We didn't have to do that. He says, you know what? You don't know how grateful I am that you want my business. Mm-hmm. And you took my business and you flourished it. Because at that time, we've already had the business 10 years, basically, from him.
Yeah.
But. And you built it to this, what it is. And he says, I'm more grateful to you. He says, and he turned my compliment around to me
That's beautiful. That's nice. Yeah. And I'm sure you feel the same way, you know, with your daughter here sitting with you the interest in the business too. Yeah.
Don't forget all of our, and you know, it's funny, you know, everybody's popping in there, Lanzarote. all of our kids, they all work the business.
Yeah.
From my brother Chuck's two kids to my brother Butch's four kids, they all work, and some still do. I mean, right now they're laying low, some of them, but you know, but they all, you know, and my kids, all three of my kids, I have, she's my oldest, my middle one is, you know, in the fashion industry, and my son's an actor, but nice. We've all worked.
Yeah,
they've all worked the business.
On any given day, if you go into the bakery, like 90% of the time, you can guarantee there is a Lanzarote there, you know, working in some capacity.
Well, where Luann says she was the first grandchild. So there's
Luann was, yeah. She was.
And Victoria says, I love this. Hi, Jerry, Paulette, and Peter. Hello. All right. So I'm curious for, in terms of Erie, what were some of the things that you wanted to do when you opened it? You said you worked for other people prior to, and I'm sure you took on this new venture in this new place, and you had ideas of what you wanted your place to stand out and be. So what, for you, what is that? What was that?
Well, the relationships with our guests, number one. And number two is probably making sure that my staff was happy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I constantly check on them. I try to pay them well. I try to take care of everybody. Because I felt like a lot of places that I worked, I would give them my all and I would get like peanuts in return.
Right.
You know, I felt like I was taken advantage of a lot. Mm-hmm. It was really important to me to make sure that I was a good, you know, employer and a good role model for all of them, because most of them came from culinary school and they want their own bakeries one day.
Sure.
And for me, I'm like, totally, you'll have your bakery one day, but you should work and, like, you know,
understand to do this for,
the business and, you know.
I was talking in terms of pastry and the product itself. What things did you want to do differently, maybe, in your business?
Well, one of the things is I have more of a restaurant background. So I'm I was always used to changing it all the time, you know, but when I worked in the bakery, the menu was the menu. Like, it wasn't changed seasonally. It wasn't changed, you know, whenever there, it just, it kind of like, it is what it is kind of thing. So I kind of took it a different route and I treated it more of as a restaurant. So I changed things all the time, which is good, you know, but then people would come in and be like, hey, where's this? You don't have this. And I'd be like, yeah, I'm over it. You know, I want to try something
else. Right, right.
I that's important.
What are some of the signatures that people can pick up when they're coming in, you know, now?
Right now, our most signature item is the olive oil citrus cake.
So good.
So good.
Yeah.
Yesterday, I had extra batter, and I baked one off for myself.
Nice, which is probably something I've done in a while. Yeah.
I was like, this is so good. I forgot how good this is because I never eat it anymore.
Yeah.
I was like, everybody should just eat this. Like, it's so good. Yeah, so not being able to, like, trying to figure out now how to do it, you know, and I'm trying to just be open 2 days a week now. So it's like, it's been really hard.
Yeah, like, how do you change it up from Monday to Friday or wherever the 2 days are, right? Yeah.
Yeah, now I have. Are you open now? What's that?
What are the 2 days that you're open?
I just did Saturday, Sunday, and it took 2 days to prep. And then, you know, like, it was a lot of work, and it was me and one other or two other people. So it was a lot to do. So this weekend, I mean, it's Mother's Day, you know, we missed Easter. Like, it sucks. Like, I have to catch up, but there's only so much I can physically do. So I'm just doing my best. I'm literally doing my best.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I did too. As I shortened my hours because I was finding out when I was open at 6 o'clock and 6:30, I would come in when this first started happening. When there was no more commuting, people weren't going to work anymore. So now my coffee customers in the morning were dwindling down. So then I started to open up later and later, like set, you know. So now I went basically 9 to 5 because 5 o'clock. I was killing myself because I was getting in there at 6 o'clock in the morning and not coming home until really late. So it's like I'm putting wear and tear on my body and stuff. So I figured we'd cut it down. And now I'm having trouble now with my staff and stuff. Like, their store help is, it's some are, you know, and I put it out there to everybody that works. I says, do you feel comfortable? If you don't feel comfortable, just let me know. And I have still had some store help that still are waiting for another week or two or three or whatever it is before they come back. So my, you know, I'm using a lot of my girls you know, every other day or every day and stuff like that. So it's, but my hours are short. I only close, I close at 5 o'clock and I'm not even looking at like, oh my God, it's so warm out and the lemon ice business could be so much. They can people can buy lemon ice. But I says, you know what? I says, let me just start out slow 9 to 5 and we'll go for that. And we'll see what we can do if I can extend it a little bit more.
Well, the goal is, I think in both of our businesses, is to provide everybody our products, right? And remind our customers and tell them like, we can get you the product, but these are the rules and regulations to be able to get that. And the reason why we're putting these policies in place is to keep everybody safe and healthy. So by opening only 2 days or opening limited hours, we're still trying to provide our customers with all of that, but keeping everybody healthy at the same time, you know?
And my bakers in the back are like, you know, they're ready to go. So now when we come in the morning, it's not like, oh, we're going to make this today. We have to see what we're down on. And then we make that. And it's a different, every day we're making something different. My baker looks at the cookie situation. He'll look at the cake situation. He'll look at, you know, the breads. He's constantly making breads every day. So, you know.
And for you, Jerry, what are some of the signatures over? I mean, I know the audience probably knows that's been following, but what are some of the signatures that people you find keep coming back for? You mentioned the ice. I know that's right now, like you said, the summer.
Pastries and cookies. And, I do a lot of cookies, biscottis, biscottes. You got your butter cookies. Pignoli cookies is a big, you know, when I'm down on certain things I could run out of and I'm okay with. But if I'm down on pignoli cookies, people coming in for pignoli cookies, rainbow cookies, people are coming in for rainbow cookies. I'll never try to run out of cannolis and sfogliatelle. And, so my Italian pastry line is basically lobster tails is what I basically have to have.
Yeah. You got anything? You got a question?
No, you asked my question. All right. I want to come and visit these places. I want to know, what do I have to get? So you answered the question. I have to get, you know, the sfogliatella or the cannoli. I definitely will. But Renee, what else do you have right now that's a must try? Is it only the,
there's more than just the olive. Yeah.
But what else?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it changes all the time, but like the quiche is really good. We do delicious brioche. We do donuts on Saturdays. Those donuts are so good. The donuts are good because I don't have a fryer. So I have a little pot and I fry them 4 at a time.
Like old school. That's real old school.
It's fresh oil. It's fresh donuts. So it tastes like homemade, you know? What else? The cookies are good. Everything's good. It depends. Yep. I mean, it's like a little bit of everything. So it depends what you like.
So for example, obviously Lindhurst Pastry Shop, they're Italian. What is your background, Renee? What is your, like, do you bring in your heritage into your bake shop?
I try to. I'm Palestinian, actually.
Okay.
I'm first generation American. My parents grew up overseas. They, you know, that's why they wanted me to not have, you know, they wanted me like to be a doctor or something. I don't know.
Right.
The better life. So I try to do some Middle Eastern things. I'm slowly getting into it, you know. Like I said, you have to get people to trust what you make, and it has to be things that they're familiar with, because if I opened off the bat with Middle Eastern pastries, they'd be like, what is this? So,
I think
pretty soon I'm going to hit them with the Middle Eastern desserts. So,
Tony Munch, have you been to Erie?
I was there years ago. She opened 5 years ago. So I haven't been. I probably was about 5 years ago when I was there. No,
there you go. Great job. Yeah. I'm just kidding.
Now I have a good excuse to go. I'm going to go visit. I'll go visit on Saturday or Sunday. I'll go visit Renee.
Definitely.
And then stop over at Jerry's.
I do have a
dying breed. You're in Lodi. Sorrento's closed down.
Diana's
closed down in that area. My father was good friends with all of those generations of those owners, like Deanna's and Sorrento's. My mother always said it, years ago that the owner of Sorrento Pastry Shop was in her grammar school. They went to grammar school together. And so it's like in the baking community way back, I'm talking 50, 70 years ago, they all knew each other.
Yeah.
They all were like paisans, you know?
What is your back? Like, where is your family from in Italy?
Here we go.
My father was born in Brooklyn.
Ancestry.
Okay. No, but where where in Sicily?
Well, my family from Enna.
Oh, that's right, where my family's.
Oh,
that's
where my family's.
Yeah, Gugine. What they say, the belly button of Sicily is Enna.
Yeah, that's it. That's
right.
And it's funny because my mother's side of the family is from Enna, and my father's side of the family, he was from Enna. So they must have made a, you know, what do they call it? You know, they got them together when they came to America. They probably got together.
So this stuff fascinates me, is the whole ancestry stuff. And
yes, there
you go. I know. Now I'm getting excited.
You were going there.
Yeah. No, I still have relatives in Italy.
Really?
Well, my cousin, my father had a sister that stayed in Italy, and my father and his other two brothers, there were three brothers, but the older sister, she stayed in Italy and raised the family. I have cousins and first and second cousins in Italy that we talk to now with Facebook and social, you know, the social media stuff. We keep in touch with them, and my father's already been there and went to weddings there. And
so yeah. Your father was actually born there. Your father?
No. My grandfather.
Grandfather, but your father was born in Brooklyn.
In Brooklyn, yes. By the time they came, my grandfather came in like 1915 or something. 1906. My father was born in 1919.
Okay.
And my uncles and my, you know, so that's what it is. They call. I have one customer that comes in. He says, "Hey, I'm going back to the motherland." And I say, "Yeah, where is Brooklyn?" For all Italian.
Listen, I want to ask you guys, for the other, you know, local shops that might be watching this, tuning in to hear what everybody's going through. I feel like everybody who's got a local business or a local shop at this point, I'm sorry to cut off the ancestry DNA conversation. What do you say to both and to the others, people that are struggling in their situation? Should I reopen? What do I do? What am I going to do next? We'll start with Renee. What do you think people should be doing? And then we'll go to Jerry about what his advice would be.
I think people need to know that we have to move on, and this is life, and it's, you just have to be smart and you have to be safe, and, you know, it's just going to be different for a while, but we can't all stay home for another couple of months, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I feel bad for like the hairdressers and other businesses that really are what they call not essential, but
right,
you know, they're all
contact with people. Mm-hmm. Like anybody who's like close contact. I mean, it's scary. It's a lot of anxiety. I think people are gonna be dealing with a lot more mental, you know, problems now, and
definitely
trying, like, you know, it's just I have my own anxiety, so I know how it is. Mm-hmm. So it's just a matter of like just going past it and just keep going.
Yeah. Jerry, what advice do you have? You've been in this a long time. You've seen competitors come and go right down the block, right? Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, you've seen a lot of shit happen in your time. What this is probably the first like this.
You know what? In our business, you know, you just got to work with the parameters that you're given, and you got to try to move on. And you got to, you know, like you say, you don't know what it's going to be like in 6 months. Maybe when they do get the vaccine, everybody will take their mask off. But you know what? Now, in the meantime, wear your mask. You know, wear your gloves. You know, we're you know, be conscious of the person next to you. Keep your distance, your social distancing. Hey, listen, I gone might be the days of shaking somebody's hand and hugging them and stuff like that. But you know what? We move on, and you just gotta do it.
I think you have to come up with a plan and then be flexible. So you come up with a plan to get everybody, like, to get your business to reopen again and making sure that you are following all of those parameters. But don't be afraid to change those parameters or like change your policies and your ways if something's not working. So we originally said, like, come to the side ice window if you want to come for pickup. That really hasn't been happening. People are still coming into our storefront. So we're just rolling with it, and that you have to be flexible. You have to just roll with it, because we are in these times that we, you know, you want the customers, but you also want to keep everybody safe.
And you know what? Another thing too is with what Paula getting involved here too. She started bringing in Grubhub and what was the other one? You know,
or DoorDash,
Uber. You know, so they're, you know, now the phone is ringing, and it's like, it's almost like I need an extra girl, an extra person to take care of the orders that are coming in from that, because people don't want to come out. They want to get that delivered. And, you know, not to make me, you know, us to go crazy, we got Grubhub and Uber Eats in there. So now they come in, and we have like a little station in the area where they make the order up. We put it there, and a guy comes in, and it's all paid for. So it's, you know.
Yeah, it's great.
And that's a change that I've never did before.
Renee, you said you never wanted to take online orders, and now you're taking online orders. Yeah. Do you think it's something that you'll implement moving forward as things start to change in the business? Will you embrace online orders at this point?
I don't know. I think I'm just going to have to go with the flow and see what happens. I mean, yeah. I like when people come in and ask me what they want. I hate having to check my phone to see who ordered something. I'm in the back working, you know, my hands are covered in dough. It's just like he said, you have to get another person just to handle that. And it's a lot, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. That's only going on 3 days, Peter.
Butchlands are already, this is the second time that he put this through. Peter, ask Jerry about specialty camp. Maybe he means cakes. Let's see.
Specialty cakes.
Specialty party cakes.
He's not very good with the my daughter.
Can I join camp?
My niece Christy does our specialty cakes, and you know that's what we've been doing a good line of. She's been working a lot at the bakery. She comes in, she makes this, and then people come in, and when they come in and ask for a cake, that's a little bit. My basic cakes is what I do. But anything more, I send them to Christy. Christy takes the orders, and then she comes in and she makes the cakes at the pastry shop with my cakes and stuff like that. And you know, she's got a whole line on. If you look on my website, you see Christy's Cakery, and that's the specialty.
Christy's cakes. So there we go. Nice. Tony Manja had a question. Is it going to be ancestry related? Because we'll mute you if it is.
No, camp?
How about Starbucks camp?
I kind of forgot what my question was, but no, it was more about you know, people are afraid to go out, obviously, right. But yet we still have to support you guys, the mom and pop shops, the small shops. So I guess what advice can you give? I mean, I guess that's the thing. I mean, am I afraid to go out? Yeah, but you know what? I work outside still. I'm considered essential, so I'm on the road, you know, during the day. I go to my local bakery to get some bread. I go to Fregali's in Garfield. I got my bread today. I went to Hank's Franks. I got a couple of dogs. So
nice.
I still want to support these smaller businesses, but for people that say are afraid, how can we give them a little bit of I don't know, some consolation, security. Security?
What are you doing inside your place?
You got the for me, my place, I have the Uber Eats, mm-hmm. I have the Grubhub. It's a delivery service, and that's how I.
I imagine everybody's wearing gloves and masks when they're baking and stuff.
Oh yeah.
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 Yeah. Oh yeah. Inside, it's a whole new setup. Everybody's in mask. Everybody's wearing gloves. I mean, we were wearing gloves before, but you know, now it's all the more. Mm-hmm. And you know.
I think for us, it's using the delivery services, but also like giving us a call. I know we have a different bakery than Renee's bakery, but like for us, you can call to pre-order. We can get your order ready for us because we have the stuff, mm-hmm. you know, already already made. It's nothing for us to just box it up. So to have that limited contact, you can pay over the phone. If you wanted to give your credit card information, you can give that information and we can get it all situated and be paid for. So all you have to do is just come in, say I'm picking up for whatever, and then you get your stuff and you go.
I have people picking up at the Lemon Ice window, picking up pastries and stuff like that too, because they don't want to come in.
So there's,
and I get that. Yeah. So that's the same thing too. Is a, you know, we have the sign in our window and our all around. I have a bunch of signs. No mask. You know, must wear a mask.
Right.
Now somebody comes in when I told all my girls, somebody comes in with no mask. You don't say, I'm not going to serve you.
Get the hell out. Right. That's how they would have handled
it. You go outside, go to the Lemon Ice window. I'll take care of you from there. Because they're at now, I feel they're outside. There's a little barrier between. I have a window, and so you know you could take care of that customer that doesn't have the mask, that doesn't believe there's any problems going on in this world, because that's what it is. You have to take care of everybody.
Yeah. Somebody did make a comment. I did see a comment here, Peter. Maybe bring it up. That I think is a great point. Is the gift certificates.
Samantha Lanzarotti says, gift certificates to use at a later time. Thank you, Samantha.
I mean, we could always mail those out. If somebody didn't want to come in to pick it up, you know, we could write up a gift card or a gift certificate and mail them out. That's the thing. Like, be flexible. Like, we are flexible. If somebody calls and says, this is where I'm really uncomfortable, but I want to be able to support you, these are the ways that we can kind of work with you on that. So
there's another crazy
thing. Set up online too.
I was going to say, Renee, what are you doing? We'll ask about gift cards. And then also, what about you with the masks and the gloves and all that stuff? Are you doing all those kinds of
things? No, same thing. Masks and gloves. I mean, one of the reasons why I only have like a small staff is because you don't know where other people have been. So I had a whole like, not contract, but I sent out an email and said, if you come to work, I need to know who you've been around. I need to know if you have like a social life, you know, if you know how you're handling all this yourself, because we're in a circle. So if I let you into my circle, I need to know who else is coming in. So I know where everybody's been, and I have 3 people working with me total.
Yeah.
So I'm not letting anybody into my bakery. I'm crazy. I don't know.
You're crazy. I think that you're being very safe. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and you know, we're also wearing masks and we're all wearing gloves. And, you know, I did everything online for now so that people can just order online. And we have a table set up. So we just drop it on the table and you take it and go.
Yeah.
Are you taking walk-ins or walk-ups or no?
Trisha says that's smart, Renee. There you go.
Thank you, Trisha. yeah. Yes, people do come up and they ask for coffee, and I'm not going to turn anybody away because I can't. But it for the baked goods, like I said, I bake off what I have and I make what I need. So,
if somebody wants something for Mother's Day, you're recommending that they should go onto your website, order it, and then pick it up on Saturday or Sunday.
The online.
Small bakery. My bakery is very, very small. I have one freezer and one fridge, and that holds my dairy. It holds my batters. It holds my doughs. It holds everything. So whatever I make every day, like it's kind of like it's a long cycle. Yeah. So if I sell out of something, people get upset that I can't make. Oh, what do you mean I can't pick it up at 5? I'm sorry. I have to make the batter and bake it and make cool and make this, you know?
Yeah.
So it's not set up in that way at all. It's more of like what we have is what we have. So
in this time, it's you have to pre-order pretty much is what you're saying. You have to pre-order the products.
Yeah.
For now, I mean, I have to see what happens, you know. Hopefully I can hire more people back and, you know, get it back to the way it was, but it's going to take time.
Sure. Question to both of you for aspiring people that want to eventually get into pastry, bake shop, coffee shop. What kind of advice do you have for them?
I tell everybody who asks me, go spend a year working for free. Then come back and see how you feel. Because that's going to be your life.
Yeah. If you're doing it every day for free, you'll be okay and you'll figure out a way to do it long term. Yeah.
You know, it's tough.
You have to have experience and, you know.
Yeah. Jerry, what about for you?
For you know, kids going, they go to school, they come out, and it's tough. Like, but you do have to get those jobs in the bigger places before you can open up your own place. It's typical what she did for her, what she did and what she, how she did it, how she opened her business. You have to pay the dues. You have to go work out at these bigger places, you know, and for bakers and stuff like that, you know, even if you get a job in ShopRite and you know, the Costco's and the BJ's to gain the experience.
You can learn so much.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I think it's important to not discriminate against where you work too. Like, you should have as much experience as possible. Like, literally work at a catering hall to a hotel to a small bakery or a small coffee shop. Because
a lot of times you get people that work for you that, you know what, you train them your way anyway. It's mm-hmm. like, you know, they come in and they'll do something one way and you say, well, no, this is the way we do it. Try this way. You know what I mean? And you can get your bakers and your decorators and your pastry people to do it your way. And
they picked those tips up. All right. So listen, guys, I'm all about gratitude these days. We're kind of wrapping up. I wanted to ask either of you, Tony Manja, I'm not going to ask you this question. Maybe I will. I don't know. is there anybody that you, either of you would like to shout out that was helpful to you in getting to where you are and, or anybody that's just in your life that's been a huge help, you know, currently? Let's start with Renee. Oh. I should start with Tony Manja since he's looking down at his phone. I should do the teacher thing.
Look at his contact.
Yeah.
Tony, want me to go?
Yeah, Tony, want me to go? First. Yeah, you first. Who do you want to?
So who do I want to shout out? Well, first of all, Peter, I love you. You're an amazing person. Yeah. I do want to shout you out. I appreciate your friendship more than you know. I miss you that I can't actually see you, even though you're on the West Coast, but I miss you because of this whole social distancing thing. But I think one of the people that I've been thinking about lately is my great grandfather, who came here from a little town in Sicily. He gave me my last name. So unfortunately I don't have a picture of him. So I've been doing a lot of searching, trying to find a picture of my great grandfather. None of my cousins have it. Nobody has it. So that's who I'm grateful for is my great grandfather for making the sacrifice to come here and giving me the life I have in America.
Now, Tony Manja, you know, I think you're the best. I love every time you're on. It's always something beautiful and wonderful, and we're always talking about something delicious. So, and you're like a brother. So I'm very much appreciate you being here. Renee, how about you? Anybody you want to shout out?
My family, my husband. My husband was my boyfriend at the time. And he helped me, and I was like, "I hope you marry me, because this is gonna be a waste of time." So my husband helped, my brothers, my mom. Oh my God, my mom worked in the bakery every day. Now she's my nanny, so that's great. Nice. So and my dad, everybody. I don't know. I didn't have money. I still don't have money. So I reach out to my family when I need help. And you know, I'm not a Lanzarote. But you know, there's plenty of them out there, and when I call for them,
there you go,
and they're great. I have 13 cousins, first cousins. So when I was painting the bakery, I called my cousins and said, "Can anyone help?" And even if 5 of them out of the 13 show up, that's 5 people.
That's Lanzarote caliber, right there.
That's what we do. I love it. Peter, coming from the top, my father, my mother. Growing up, actually in high school, my mother lived upstairs from the bakery. So it was like, you know, our food, she was the constant, you know, sending down lunches and stuff like that and breakfast. And, you know, we ate good as bakers. We didn't eat dessert as much as we ate all different things that my mother and my father was cooking in the bakery when he was still around and working. And then that trickles right down to my brothers and their families. My brother Butch, who's my partner right now, because Chuck is retired, my brother Chuck, but all of the extended families, they all worked in the bakery, and yeah, they all help. And coming down to my family with my kids and my wife, who, you know, for years in this business, when my kids were growing up, thank God we were in the age of videotapes, because I don't have a Christmas morning of me personally seeing my kids open presents, except for a videotape of my kids opening presents. Because Christmas Day, we were at the bakery. Yeah. Thanksgiving Day, we're at the bakery. All of our dinners for Thanksgiving were at 4 or 5 o'clock. Then my father, if he could, he would have stayed open until 10 o'clock at night on every day.
Right.
We finally got him to close early on holidays at 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock. So this way we had some remnants of a holiday, but family is all important, you know?
Well, listen, guys, this is great. I love doing this with you guys. To both of you, I would give gratitude, because I think you guys are in this, yes, for what you're in it for, but so many meals and so many pastries at both of your places I've had and have been the catalyst for a great day or a great experience, right? I can think of a couple of times, at Renee's place, where we went there in the morning, just had a really great day based on what we got out of your place. So you're making memories. And for Jerry, I mean, listen, man, since I was a little kid, I grew up with you and your family and your pastry shop always being in my life. So I'm so grateful for it, because so many meals, so many memories all through what you deliver. And so the hard work and the stuff that you're going through right now, I think will be worth it because of, you know, and I'm sure I'm just one of many customers that would say something very similar to both of you.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Tell your father I said hello.
I will. I'm sure. Hopefully he listened to this if he didn't fall asleep.
Hello, Peter.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for doing this, and maybe we'll have you back and see how things are going down the line.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Thank
this you. Was a lot of fun.
Nice meeting you, Tony. Nice meeting you.
I'll see you.
Okay. Bye, guys.
All right. Bye.
Ciao.